J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything.
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
Oh, they're about to, all right. New at Taco Town. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
Awesome!
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, Gruyere, merguez sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Can I eat it now?
Sure. But not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a Taco Town taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep-fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one.
Taco Town!
The new pizza crepe taco pancake chili bag. Only at Taco Town.
Taco Town!
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Day, February 22nd, 2022, 261 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. Man, there's a lot going on. Yes, the Schnucks Panic Aisle is open. We got a repeat of last week, although I don't think the snow totals will be that high, but it's going to be the old, sleet, freezing rain. Weather can't decide which way it wants to go, whether it's cold enough for snow or not cold enough for snow, but depending on where you are, a couple of inches of something, and the further south you go, the less of an impact you'll experience. The further north you go, chances are it'll be more snow. But St. Louis could get a couple of inches of snow, could get 2 to 4. As usual, it just depends on at what point the freezing rain and the sleet kicks over to snow. And right now, I don't think they know that. High today of 62, low tonight of 19. With a lot of wind. 10 to 20 mile an hour winds. By the way, if you're looking towards the Mardi Gras parade on Saturday in Soulard, sunny and 42, winds should not be an issue. So that's good news. So there actually is good news for a change around here, except for the Schnucks Panic Aisle being open for tomorrow. Mardi Gras coming up on Saturday. Daylight savings time starts in 19 days. And oh, did I mention today is National Margarita Day, which is why I played the Taco Town thing, because if you're gonna have margaritas and today is your day, you got to get some tacos in there too. For my wife, Mission Taco is what Lion's Choice is to me. Come to St. Louis, first thing you do, get out of the car, get off the plane, is I head straight to Lion's Choice, she heads straight to Mission Taco. But I'm liking that 19 days until daylight savings. Oh man, every year there's a discussion about how much everybody in America hates daylight saving time, and that there's pending legislation every once in a while. Somebody brings something up, and nothing ever happens. Do you know anybody who likes daylight saving time? They like having it get dark so early every fall and then all winter? Who likes that? So if nobody likes it, why the hell do we still have it? Politicians keep suing one another for partial birth abortion that doesn't even apply to 1% of the total population of the country. Speaking of weather, the guys who predict with Vladimir Putin.
President Vladimir Putin.
I'm sorry, it's that guy on Channel 5 with the correct pronunciation. What is it again, Brent?
President Vladimir Putin.
Thanks, buddy. Vladimir Putin's. Anyhow, United States Intelligence, CIA, whoever it is, generating all this stuff. Man, every single thing they said was going to happen is happening, including this whole false flag thing. Putin is supposed to meet with Joe Biden, and I don't know what the hell is going on. All I know is, if there's an invasion, and it sure sounds like there's going to be, the gas prices are going to break $4 almost overnight. See? That's because, as we've been trying to tell people, the president of the United States has virtually nothing to do with the price of gas in this country. You can yell and scream at Biden if you want, but it isn't his fault. And it isn't the fault of any other president of any other country. It's going to see their gasoline prices go through the roof, especially if there is an invasion and you get a big war going on between Ukraine and Russia. See how fast things can change? I was just talking about all the good news. The good news there is, I think I just focused a little bit too much on Mardi Gras and National Margarita Day. I think I got distracted there from all the other bad shit that's going on in the world. This has been circulating on the internet and on social media for people who don't understand why Ukraine is a big deal. Why are we even talking about this every day, every 5 minutes? Well, it's the second largest country by area in Europe. They got 40 million people. That's almost as much as all of Canada. And it's more than Poland, which is something I didn't know. Ukraine's got a lot of uranium, titanium. They have the second largest iron ore reserves in the world, 30 billion tons. They're second in Europe in terms of mercury ore, 13th in the world in shale gas reserves. Fourth in the world by total value of natural resources. Fourth in the world. Seventh in coal. They have tons of farmland. They're third in the world by area of black soil. That's 25% of the entire world's volume. Sunflower and sunflower oil. Barley. Fourth largest exporter of corn in the world. Fourth in potatoes. Eighth in wheat. Ninth in chicken eggs. They're in the top 20 in the world exporting of cheese. First in Europe in ammonia production. Fourth in natural gas. Eighth in nuclear power plants. They're third in exporting of iron ore in the world. They're the fourth largest manufacturer of the world in rocket launchers. Who knew? And 10th largest steel producer in the world. So, if you're wondering why Ukraine matters, there it is right there. Well, one of the things we tell people is that we only do politics on the podcast when it is absolutely unavoidable. This being one of those days, I'm afraid. I have one last thing to play for you, and then we're going to move on. It's not really news. It's not really politics. It's just news coverage. This news night thing. Not news night. News Nation. I'm sorry. News Nation. If you ever remember Mark Vittert? He used to own the St. Louis Business Journal. He was one of the original Donnybrook guys. Mark Vittert, are you outraged? Martin Dugan. Mark Vittert sells the St. Louis Business Journal for, I don't know, like $30 million or something like that, and retreats to upstate Michigan. Extreme northern tip of lower Michigan, like up around Traverse City, but even further north than that. If you look at a map, it's really easy to see. There's this, coastland, Lake Michigan coastland that runs all the way up north, all the way past Traverse City. And before you get to the extreme northern tip, there's this little finger that just sort of sticks out, and it's called Leland, Michigan. Big resort town, God's country. Colder and snowier than shit, but some people like that, and that's where he lives. So he has a son. What does he name the son? Leland. And so you see the name Leland Vittert, and he's the guy that's got one of these shows that's on at night on this News Nation thing. And then one of the news chicks used to be on Channel 5. She's one of the main anchor people, and they do a nice job. You know, you get a little tired of the Fox versus MSNBC and CNN and all that sort of stuff. We got this weather guy on there named, what is it? Here it is. This aired the other night. I love this.
So, Alex, what is in store around the country?
It is going to get a lot colder for a lot of us. There were some spots that were pretty comfortable. In fact, right now, temperatures in the 60s.
I don't know. His name is Alex. Go ahead, Alex.
53 in Atlanta, 50 in Denver, 27 in Great Falls, Minnesota.
Give it another shot.
Great Falls, Minnesota.
For the record, it's Montana. The guy's from Huntsville, Alabama, by the way. Alex Puckett. Alex Puckett.
27 in Great Falls, Minnesota.
I love the way he gave it like two or three stabs, and then just figured, you know what, fuck it, I'm moving on here. And I'm sure he's a fine weather guy. I mean, I'm done. I was on TV for so long, and you're just sitting there staring at the camera, and you just go blank, and you just look like an idiot. But it happens to everybody. 11.4 million people on average watched the Olympic coverage for 2 weeks. 11.4 million, that's down from 19.8 million in 2018, the last time they had the Winter Olympics. NBC is so screwed to the floor because especially if this turns out to be a trend and like the Oscars or something like that, people just go, oh, fuck it, I don't care. And they just go away and they never come back. Then NBC is screwed like forever. But thankfully, the absence of the Olympics brings back the late night television talk shows. Jimmy Fallon tonight, James Spader, Mandy Moore, and Arnold Schwarzenegger on with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got John Turturro and John Avalon from CNN. James Corden, Sean White, and Whitney Cummings. And Seth Meyers as Anthony Anderson. You want to talk about politics? Again, we do politics when it's absolutely unavoidable. In this particular case, it's not American politics. It's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame politics. And we know there's a lot of it. Behind the scenes, people are arguing, scratching each other's eyes out. And again, there's that big question. Should it be changed from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the Music Hall of Fame? Because they got problems. In just the next handful of years, look at the names that are coming up for possible consideration. Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Jennifer Lopez, Coldplay, Maroon 5, Lady Gaga, Missy Elliott, Kanye, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, and Adele. All coming up here in the next handful of years. Now, what do you do? Thankfully, this is not my problem. Speaking of music, the son of Clarence Clemens is being sued for using his dad's name and likeness to sell weed. Better enterprising young man. Quentin Aaron, the kid who played Michael Orr in The Blind Side, lost 100 pounds, and he still looks huge. Dana Delaney, remember her from China Beach? She fell down some stairs and banged her head and immediately thought of Bob Saget. She got checked out. She is okay. But she's reminding people, she's using her own experience to remind people, take that shit seriously. Britney Spears writing her own memoir. They're paying her $15 million up front to do it. The horse that won the Kentucky Derby last year ain't the winner anymore. After the horse tested positive for steroids, second place winner gets the honor. A first print VHS tape of The Terminator sold for $32,500 in an online auction. It was in near perfect condition, sold within 3 days. Birthdays today, professional train wreck, Drew Barrymore, 47. Thomas Jane played Mickey Mantle in the HBO production that was directed by Billy Crystal of 61. And then he was in that HBO thing, Hung, where he played the part of a guy with gigantic junk. He's 53 today. Jeri Ryan from Star Trek Voyager, 54. She's from the Chicago area, I think. Rachel Dratch, hilarious on Saturday Night Live. Hasn't been able to get that much going for herself since then. 56 today. Kyle MacLachlan from Twin Peaks and a lot of good movies, including the TV show Desperate Housewives, Sex and the City. 63 today. Julius Erving, that's Dr. J, 72. The Miracle on Ice happened 42 years ago today in 1980. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Al Michaels with the call. Andy Warhol died of a heart attack at the age of 58, 35 years ago today, 1987, after gallbladder surgery. And I've had that, and it scares me to think you could die in the operating table getting what is supposed to be a sort of routine procedure. Slumdog Millionaire, one of the more unique movies I've ever seen. 13 years ago, wins Best Picture. That was 2009. And 39 years ago today, 1983, Styx released their 11th album. Kilroy was here with Mr. Roboto and Don't Let It End. Dennis DeYoung, who I grew up about 7 or 8 miles away, not even that. Yeah, about 8 miles away from one another on the old southwest side of Chicago, is one of the most funny and entertaining people I've ever met in showbiz.
Dennis, I'm just guessing that when Billy Idol goes on stage or when the American Idol kids go on stage, they just grab the microphone and start singing. I got this weird idea that because of your voice, which is almost, you know, Broadway and operatic in style, can you give me a little sample of right here for everybody to hear? This is something they'd never get a chance to hear unless they were backstage with you. A little bit of your rehearsal, like when you're back there and you're trying to get your voice ready to go on stage, what you have to do?
I don't do much warming up. I sing in the shower just a little bit before I go. I just do a quick, it's less than a minute, but you want to know what I sing in the shower?
Yeah.
Fly me to the moon and let me play stars. I sing that. I don't know why.
Fly me to the moon in the shower.
It's one of those songs that just has a lot of range. And so when you're warming up, you're looking to, you know, you're looking to touch every note.
One of these days, we're going to play back this interview we did with Dennis DeYoung in 2019. And I swear to God, I was on the floor laughing. He is a very, very funny guy. Gave me a recommendation for a pizza place on the southwest side of Chicago the last time we talked. It's also the birthday of Teddy Kennedy.
It is a special pleasure for me to introduce our two home run kings for working families in America, Mike McGuire and Sammy Susser.
You ought to hang out with that Brent Solomon from Channel 5.
President Vladimir Putin.
I just love that guy. I love that guy. Vladimir Putin. The Kurt and Brenda movie, American Underdog, is available on home video starting today, pay-per-view, all that sort of stuff. Recommended the movie fairly strongly. Just don't think that it's a movie about the 99 championship Rams. That's only in the backdrop. It's a love story about Kurt and Brenda. It's very well told, although I will say this, and I said this in the review when the movie came out at Christmas, you'll think that they're actually using NFL video. And there is that in the movie, but they cut back and forth from the produced stuff and the CGI stuff over to the real stuff seamlessly. And they really, really, you know, pet peeve of anybody who is a sports fan and likes sports movies. So many of the movies, you know, when they finally get down to the sports action, it's just not convincing. It's not believable. This is. And it just enhances the overall movie. There's things wrong with it. And if you're thinking, oh, I don't want to hear a bunch of preachy stuff about the Bible, there's hardly any of it in there. Plus, if you want, you can watch it with the kids, too. So, you know, is it Citizen Kane? No. But it's a really, really good movie. They did a nice job on this. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about, because I saw this on my list of things yesterday. In 1998, they had the Grammys in New York City. This time, like I said, they used to go back and forth from LA to New York, but this one in 1998 was in fact in New York, and I was working with Mark Close at the time, something I would have done a lot sooner had I known how good he is at morning radio and how quick and funny he is. And I guess they just never really knew this, and so by 1998 when they put us together, it was like, I would have done this years ago had I known. I just didn't pick up on it, I guess. But anyhow, that was his first trip to New York. And of course, I've been in New York at that point something like, well over 200 times. So he wanted to see Times Square, took him there. He wanted to see 30 Rock. I took him there, kept him out of the strip. No, I'm just kidding. We had a nice time. That's where we interviewed Heidi Klum. And when we were leaving the facility, they actually did this at the CBS Broadcast Center, you know, where they do the news and everything. And they had one whole floor dedicated to this. They brought in radio stations from all over the country. And then they would bring in, you know, music stars, comedians, New York people, and bring them in. And they would just hop from table to table to table. And that's what you heard on the air. I remember we had Alan Coulter, the announcer for David Letterman at the time. Like I said, Heidi Klum.
I can't remember if it was the year we had Gilbert Gottfried.
But it might have been. And then as we're leaving, in the lobby is Leslie Stahl from CBS News and 60 Minutes. And I had interviewed her before, so she just sort of walks out there and I'm like, Miss Leslie Stahl. And Close looks at me like, why are you talking to this woman like you know her? And I was like, oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess I should explain that. And meanwhile, she's looking to me like, who the hell are you? Get me a cab and get me the funk out of here. Close still likes to tell that story for some reason. But have you ever noticed how much fun that is, taking somebody to some place that's really, really famous, you know, for the very first time, but you know the your way around? It's fun. It's like taking somebody to a new restaurant they've never been to, and they get so excited because it's like, oh my God, not kidding, this is so good. Or taking them to a movie they've never seen before, or even a sports stadium. Or a resort. But yeah, even a city like New York, just fun showing somebody around. Oh, by the way, back to National Margarita Day. Out of all the chain restaurants, supposedly they have the best margaritas. Why do I doubt that? Chili's came in second on the list. 76% of Americans drink margaritas. 67% of us prefer it to be a frozen blended drink, while the other 33% would rather have it on ice. Coming in dead last, by the way, for the best margaritas, Applebee's, Ruby Tuesday, second worst, followed by the Cheesecake Factory, Red Robin, and TGI Fridays. And you know why they have the worst? The Cheesecake Factory, which I love, Red Robin, which I don't go to anymore, and I haven't been to a Fridays in a long time, but I do recall in all three cases, they don't put any fucking booze in the drink. If I wanted to drink lemonade or limeade, I'd order it, especially the Cheesecake Factory. You know, I tend to gravitate toward the mom and pops or the local restaurants, but every once in a while, I'm like, this is a Cheesecake Factory. It's convenient. Food's good. It's overpriced. Yeah, but they don't ever bother. Don't go to the Cheesecake Factory expecting to see booze in your drink. By the way, if you're not interested in going to a cheesy chain restaurant and you don't want to create your own margarita, they also rank 12 grocery store margarita mixes, with the top spot going to something called Tres Agaves Organic Margarita Mix. Tres Agaves. I can get hammered on margaritas faster than almost anything else. Tequila, I am telling you. You get so wasted trying to take your socks off over your head. But it's great if you're trying to get somebody drunk fast. Let's talk about first dates. What is the only objective of a first date? Say it with me. That's right. To get a second date. That's all the first date is about, is getting that second date. Trust me, I know there's some things I know something about, and this is one of them. There's a new poll on the most unacceptable activities for a first date. And the one that rated the worst is meeting the other person's family or having them meet your family on a first date. Taking them as a plus one to a wedding was also a big no, along with spending time at your place or their place and conducting the entire thing over a video call. Slightly less bad ideas. Physical activities like swimming or attending a gym class, going on a double date with another couple, and shopping. On the flip side, the most acceptable options for a first date include grabbing coffee, going for a walk, going out for dinner, grabbing drinks at a bar, going to a museum or art gallery, or catching a movie. And that's a stupid one right there, catching a movie. What are you trying to do with a first date? Trying to get to know the other person. Find out if they want to be with you, if they dig you, if you dig them. And you can't do it if you're sitting next to each other for 2 hours and you can't talk to one another. Walking my dog about a week ago, and this is late at night, and she seems awfully, awfully interested in this bush. And I'm pulling on her, like, come on, Luna, let's go, let's go, let's go. And uncharacteristically, she wasn't paying any attention to me. She was doing what she wanted. And I finally yanked down the chain. It's like, let's go. And when I did, she had two baby bunnies in her mouth. Slapped those things out of her face. Your dog, your pets are always eating something they're not supposed to. 61% of dog and cat owners say they've lost sleep over the thought of their pet getting into something they shouldn't. 56% of pet owners will shout stop or no to try to stop their pets. 35% will put their pet in timeout. Unless you do it immediately, and I mean immediately, the animal will not make the association with what they've done wrong. Basic dog training. Basic human training used to be that you used to have to memorize all of your friends' phone numbers. And then they had those follow faxes and you'd stuff stuff away in there. And then they came out with electronic devices to hold all your numbers. But if you're over the age of 40, you probably remember if you didn't have the number memorized, you had it written down on a wall somewhere. You know, that's about the only thing you could do. cell phones obviously made all that obsolete. And now 31% of people who were asked about this said, I don't have even one number memorized. Not even one. 38% one or two, 19% up to five, 6% said 10, 1% say they knew more than 10. Liars. 49-year-old female lawyer in Florida was refused service at a bar because she was too drunk, so she went in the bathroom, took off all her clothes, and came back out immediately naked. She refused to put her clothes back on, so the cops were called and she was arrested for disorderly conduct. Her picture was published, and why is it always that the people who do stuff like this are people that would be last on the list of humans that you would like to see naked? There's now a geography-based Wordle ripoff. It's called World Lull. You can't even pronounce it. W-O-R-L-D, World, and then L-E. Wordle. Well, they'll be very successful, since you can't fucking say it. 42-year-old man in Boston stabbed another man on Sunday because the guy refused to flush the toilet after using a public restroom. The assailant was caught. The victim was treated for a wound to his hand. Who gets shot in the hand? And you see that all the time in autopsies. The coroners will tell you. Somebody pulls a gun on somebody. The person holds up their hand in front of their face like the hand is going to stop the bullet. You're not Superman. Researchers at MIT, the smart kids, say they've done what some people thought was impossible. They created a new material that's as light as plastic, but stronger than steel. They say it's easy to make and could be used in everything from phones to bridges. NASA planning to retire the International Space Station in 2030. They will deliberately crash it. They're going to be aiming for a remote part of the South Pacific known as the Spacecraft Cemetery. A study in Berkeley found our brains constantly lag like a computer and take a while to update. So everything we perceive is a mashup of the last 15 seconds of information our brain gets. But they say it's a good thing because if updated constantly, we would feel like we are hallucinating all the time. The Kinsey Institute partnered with an adult toy company called Love Honey to find out which cities have gotten the kinkiest during the pandemic, and Pittsburgh comes in number one. They looked at toy sales in the 25 biggest cities in America. They also polled people on things like self-pleasuring habits and which fantasies they've been actively exploring. Pittsburgh ranked first for experimentation. Rest of the top five, Sacramento, Orlando, and then there's a tie between Dallas and Phoenix. Atlanta ranks first for fantasies. States in the Northeast ranked high in multiple fantasy categories, and Delaware is the kinkiest state overall. Vermont next, New Hampshire, and then Maine. But one spot ranked even higher than all of those, yes, Washington, D.C., kinkier than any state in America, and boy, does that explain a lot. And with that, we say bye-bye. The J.C. Crockman Podcast for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022, is in the can. 261 days remaining on our American democratic system of government. Please continue to spread the word that we're here every morning with the podcast, 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. We archive everything. We do politics only when it's unavoidable. And we're in the top 10 podcasts of all being done in the country. You may email me, jc@jcontheline.com, on Facebook. We're at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.